Welcome to another episode of Working with Purpose. Our show is dedicated to exploring topics around the intersection of faith and business, and we view leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. My name is David Stark, and Justin Royer is going to be with us next week. But we've been working on my book, Flat Work, and I want to give you, to start out with today, an image. And that is, this week is always an exciting week that's coming up. Thanksgiving and families are traveling. I love that holiday. Lots of people getting together. But on a business front, there's a series of things happening after Thanksgiving. We know of Black Friday's coming. We know that Small Business Saturday is coming. We know that Cyber Monday is coming. But you may or may not have heard of something called Singles Day. Singles Day is actually a holiday in China. And Alibaba and company have sort of taken it over because of the incredible things that are happening on the network level in China. They had their Singles Day already, and they had a 34.4 or 8 billion day single-handedly. Alibaba did, let alone everybody else. And that's more than all three of the holidays I mentioned put together, times two. And so the question is, how in the world did this Singles Day happen? And actually, it's an incredible story of adaptability, which is what our theme is today, and also network power. And I'm going to tell that story as we go today. But what I want to focus on is that adaptability and agility both have been drivers of business in this networked age, because a networked age really puts the customer in control as opposed to the companies primarily in control. And I want to talk about four different ways that the human body is being used as the image of adaptability and agility. But also I want to talk about these very radical different business models that are surfacing all over the world. And I hope that these trigger for you the possibility of some reading and also some investigating, because these are all four really important ways of viewing business today for those that are either in business or those that are leaders in business. So we're going to look at these. And the first one we've talked about before, which has to do with how the structure, the organizational design of companies is radically changing. The guy that we first had on the show that was connected to this is David Gray, and he wrote a book called The Connected Company. It's a little bit dated now, but what he's suggesting is that because of the speed of service and because a service has to be highly adaptable, he was the first one that said we've got to get out of hierarchy, but we've got to actually talk about the biological image of the body, and therefore being able to adapt quickly to what's coming at you. And of course, if you remember The Connected Company, it's a read I would recommend to all of you. He talked in terms of restructuring into this networked organization. He talked about how the best example of that, of course, is the human body as by way of metaphor for these organizations. And he talked about everything being divided into pods. And pods are small, interconnected teams of 8 to 10 people, each of them having direct eye to some component of service that they're operating. And under those kinds of companies, what happens is that those pods are interconnected in platforms, and we're going to talk a lot about platforms today. But he's really suggesting, and he develops this on the human body level, that we create our organizations in a much flatter, much more connected ways, big themes on our program. But he used specifically the human body as the metaphor in that. And he's talking about service leadership, which is what 80% of companies are today, and uses very, very highly developed metaphor of the biological image around the connected company and kind of what it means. And in our programs, we've been suggesting a couple of things that are really important. First of all, that your internal spinal cord, if you will, the nervous system of the organization, is many times now more important than the actual physical footprint. And that means that people and organizations and different suppliers and complementers, et cetera, are going to be connected through that internal spinal cord, as opposed to focusing primarily on your physical footprint. Obviously, they both matter, but now it's even more important that the spinal cord becomes central. And that's what he's really getting at, David Gray, is in The Connected Company. I would recommend reading in that one. We're actually going to see next week, Justin's going to help us. I'm going to interview him on the ongoing development of service design. Service design now has this interconnectivity and the sense of networked at the center of that. So I'll deal with more of that next week, but that's one of the ways that adaptability and agility is happening big time. Let me suggest another one, though. It's a book called Nimble, and this man is a strategist all over the world. But he really uses the human body again. He says, we all know is one of the most adaptable organisms that's ever been on Earth, relative to all other animals, of course, because of the human capacities. And so the way he goes at the idea of adaptability is he said, we need to be thinking about 5 of the 8 intelligences that Howard Gardner originally identified and got us out of this idea of just standardization and just one intelligence. And let me just give you an overview, because his way of looking at a company has to do with the fact that we need to have more than one of the intelligences of the human mind at work in any organization. That's so he goes, first of all, to operational intelligence, which really has to do with action and experimentation and the ability to act your way into the future. So a lot of what happens here is that this is where you become nimble in execution. And nimble in execution means you're acting into this and you're acting into that. And by executing in various ways, it continues to adapt the organization in the future. In other words, you may not know what the next market competitive advantage is till you act your way there. And so you're acting various directions on the organizational, operational side of the company. And that becomes the way you're really going to discover what your next service or your next product or your next competitive advantage is coming from. And it's not going to be a lot of thinking up front. It's a lot of action, reflection, reaction, reflection, back and forth between those two. And when you get really good at that kind of execution process, you continue to be adaptable to the changing consumer environment, because the consumers really have control these days as opposed to the companies themselves, at least more of it. And that's one way he goes at that. The second one is the analytical side. And this, of course, is that besides what's happening operationally in your action reflection process in the company, there's also all the data analysis that's happening today. This has to do with logical chains. And all of the data analysis now sometimes makes you much more competitive than whoever your competitor is. And we're going to hear a lot about that analytical side from Justin next week. But it means that if I'm not in touch with data in some form, we've talked about this a lot, it has to do with the sensory system. If I don't have my own unique ways, a lot of it being powered by artificial intelligence today, but not all of it, then I don't have this kind of fresh proprietary data that's driving my product matches and my service development. And so he many times says you can look at the execution side, but you've got to look at the analytical side sometimes, because execution without some kind of really good data analysis may leave you actually trying to push service and products that are no longer really what the customer is looking for, or there are competitors that are way ahead of you in that front. So that's the second intelligence of the mind he talks about. The third one he talks about has to do with imagination. It's the inventive side. And this has to do with innovation. And we're going to look at some radical ideas about innovation in a minute here. But this has to do with experimentation and innovation and creativity. So you may be great at the analytical side of data or even the operational side of your organization, but if there's no innovative sort of cutting edge in the company, then you may be out experimented, is the point. You may be out innovated, and that can be the competitive advantage or the way of thinking part of the brain you need to be using at the moment for your particular organization, where innovation is really at the center of where competitive advantage is happening. I know this is very heady, but this is really about thinking different parts of the brain. And obviously the next one is communicative, right? So I may be good at some of these other intelligences, but if my channels or the way I'm communicating to the marketing or any kinds of ways of actually engaging the client or engaging the marketplace, that's where you may need your adaptability. It may not be that your products need redevelopment or even that your execution has to be better, but he's suggesting sometimes the place you really need to look is how you're communicating or not communicating in the marketplace today. And so see what his big thesis is I've got to be agile in the type of intelligence or the ways of viewing my business in the marketplace with more than one of these, because you can get stuck in just one of these capacities of the human mind, and therefore the adaptability you need may not be there. And then the last one he talks about is visionary, of course. And this has to do really with long-term, wide-angle, and wide-angle lenses was originally written by a Dartmouth business professor. It just means not just what am I doing, but what am I doing in the environment of everything that's connected to me. And it's when you have those wide-angle lenses, or even more importantly, the long-term lenses, that could be critical to product and service leadership, especially in the future, or especially amidst the ecosystem I now find myself embedded in. Here's the big idea, though, in terms of adaptability. I got to have different parts of the human mind by way of viewing my marketplace, not just one of those. And so there's a whole lot to do there. If you want to read about the specifics of that, actually he's going to have tools in the back. That's in the book called Nimble. And you'll see how he analyzes and mixes and matches those. I would recommend that, because it's really saying that the human mind is what makes us so adaptable in this world, and that's also when applied to business, all those different intelligences, we really are able to find new ways of being adaptable in the world. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark today, and we'll come back to talk about adaptability.
When it's time to change, you've got to rearrange who you are and what you're going to be.
Interconnectivity has changed the way business gets done. Are you prepared? Each week on Working with Purpose, David Stark and Justin Royer address the changing world of work from a fresh perspective, drawing lessons from ecosystems and the human body to show how organisms and organizations need to work together. And they'd love to have you join the conversation. You can dialogue with David and Justin on these important discussions, sign up to receive blog posts, get updates on upcoming events, and more through their website, davidstarkcollective.com, or find them on Twitter, at Stark Collective. David and Justin are also available to speak on a variety of topics related to working with purpose, and will help you and your business go beyond discussing these concepts to putting them into action. Find out more by going to davidstarkcollective.com and open either the speaking or consulting pages of the platform. And now let's get back to part two of Working with Purpose.
This could be the start of something.
Welcome back to Working with Purpose. We're talking about adaptability today, but if you want to get involved in this conversation, go to the davidstarkcollective.com. You can look at all of our podcasts there. You also, on the contact page, can send me an email and kind of give you feedback about what you're thinking about adaptability in our marketplace today. You can also find us on iTunes under Working with Purpose. That's where you can rate our programs and give us feedback about those. We'd love to have that. We're also on Twitter at Stark Collective. So any of those ways, please, please join the conversation. Now, we talked about a couple major ways that the body is being used by thinkers in the adaptivity space. And I want to move now to the one I opened up with, which had to do with how did Alibaba really create this marketplace that is you know, outperforming the combination of Cyber Monday and Black Friday and even Small Business Saturday. And they continue to move up. And he uses the strategist for Alibaba in a book called Strategy. That's just called Strategy that he wrote. And it has to do with a double helix. He uses the DNA double helix. Let me tell you what that double helix is. First of all, it's deep interconnection, network connection. And that's one half of the helix. And the other one is data intelligence. But let me talk about the first half of this first. They basically at Alibaba have software-ized everything, meaning that they're interlinking through software every different piece of research and development, every piece of product creation, every piece of service connection. And that means that connected to the main platform on Alibaba is all of these softwares that are already networked together. What does that mean? So through the data intelligence, the other half of the helix, which I'll talk about in a minute, an idea or a piece of data intelligence or a consumer insight comes into the platform, and because the software is already interconnected completely, they can go from that idea to actually creating the product in hours or minutes, because everybody is fully aware of what's coming in through the data intelligence. Consequently, they can put something online about a possibility. People can automatically begin to order it before it's manufactured, and then it's taken out. So all these orders come on Singles Day, for example, and it's immediately taken out through this operationalized software that they're already producing it seconds or minutes after it's been ordered, which means they can get it on the trucks that day. Lots of things now are most of it is actually out to the consumer within 24 hours to 48 hours because of this interlinking, interoperability of software network connections that's deeply connected. I think the longest they now have, think about this, $30.8 billion of revenue is out within a week. It's out to everybody in the world. That is deep, deep software interconnectivity that creates this network chain that is just always, you're always being communicated to about product or service or whatever you're doing all the time. And that's how they do that. And then the other half of the helix is incredible amounts of data intelligence. Because there's so many users, and this is the incredible statistic, 43% of the Chinese population ordered on Singles Day. So you can imagine the kind of data intelligence that has to come out of this platform, you know, basically distributed to everybody through these software connections so that they can deliver this kind of product within those kind of time frames. And when you've got 43% of the Chinese population online, you can imagine the data intelligence that they're able to bring out of the artificial intelligence, all kinds of different ways of sensitivity in the marketplaces that allows them to do this quickly. Can you see how flat this organization is? It is very flat. Through all of these different kinds of interconnection, there's just no time to go up any kind of ladder. You can't go up a ladder. You've got to go from platform right out to the producers, right out to the incredible distribution connections, right out to the trucks that are going to ship it. All of that has been interconnected through software, and that's how you end up with Singles Day that's doing, and it's just continuing to grow year after year after year. And in your business, the interoperability of software is a huge idea. In fact, almost every business I'm dealing with now is trying to connect all these business processes digitalized online. That's the big idea here, is we digitalize every part of the process of interacting with customer, and it's done at lightning speed, so it all gets out there very quickly. Of course, that takes out any layers. As Gary Hamel has said so well, in America, we're just in love with bureaucracy. Right? We keep getting bigger, and at most about, 20% now or a little higher work for large organizations of 5,000 people or more, and most of them have 8 layers of management. You can see how, because China did not have that a legacy of all that kind of built a bureaucracy. They were able to build this. This isn't the only one. This is just the biggest of Alibaba doing that without all those layers. So the interoperability of software creates a much flatter organization. And what it's building on is the network effect. Let me tell you what the network effect is if you haven't heard of that. The network effect is that when you send out a product, it's used up or it's gone and it's lost its value quickly. But when you are talking about the network effect, the more people that are networked to you, the bigger any value gets. And so they're just building on this network effect with the interoperability of software. And also the thing that goes with that is data intelligence. And so all of a sudden, you can interconnect everything with all these people ready to go, but if you don't have cutting-edge intelligence, nobody's getting to the customer. So you can see why he calls that the double helix. And you can read about this, the new book that he's written on strategy, it's available everywhere. I would recommend that you look closely at all the things they're doing, not because you're going to become Alibaba, but because the interoperability of software attached to network intelligence is going to be a big part of how commerce happens in the future. And so I would recommend that highly to you. But I want to go to a fourth one. And the fourth one is actually what Gary Hamel and in Harvard Business Review is talking about today. What Hamel has been about for a long time is how do we defeat bureaucracy? It is so big in America especially, and it is so dogged in its desire to stay put rather than yield to these new technologies. So he's actually dealt with not as big a company as Alibaba, but it's called Haier, I think. It's H-I-A-I-E-R, H-A-I-E-R. I don't know how you pronounce that. But the Haier organization has been doing refrigeration and other kinds of appliances for a long time. But let me share how this happens. What they do is they have a few, this is built on micro enterprises that are deeply interconnected through the Haier platform, but this is how it works, is they are about the business of a micro enterprise that's close to the marketplace. The refrigeration was the first ones that they had, is they would then, rather than having to have everything under the house, the micro enterprise in the marketplace of human resources, R&D, finance, all of those functions in business that are connected also as microenterprises have to bid for whoever the people that are actually on the front line of their microenterprise that's selling. And so none of that is assumed. You don't have, in other words, it's not captured monopolies. What Hamel means by that is in big companies, you know, you have to use that IT department. I have to use that human resource department. I have to use that finance function. Nope, not in this. That's all connected by bidding. So all over Haier, they have to bid for their part of HR, bid for their part of finance. And so the micro enterprises that are at the cutting edge of the marketplace, they create projects. They put it out for bid, all those different parts of the bid, and those bids are then bid on, and they have to be competitive. And the idea here is everybody has a customer. Finance has a customer. Operations has a customer. IT has a customer. Distribution has a customer. So the idea is that everybody's capacity is built in such a way that they're all entrepreneurs. So the goal of the CEO of Haier is that everybody is their own CEO. Now that's almost how flat they are. I mean, they're that flat that everybody on an ongoing basis has to compete for their part of the business that these micro enterprises that are market facing are building. So there's about 24 large manufacturing micro enterprises that are market facing, and all of the other somewhere around 3,500 nodes have to constantly compete for a piece that's happening there. And that keeps everything market facing, everything basically adaptable, because you don't have any of that legacy tax of bureaucracy. These are radical ideas, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope Gary Hamel's got a new book called Humanocracy coming out in 2019 that'll describe that to you. My point is, this is an incredible time about networks, where the body and its network structure is being used in many different ways to talk about how we're going to adapt to this marketplace today. Well, I hope those are some good resources and good places to look. You've been listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark again. See you next week.